This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The economy added jobs in July. What does it mean for growth? The U.S. is WNT out of the World Cup. What happened to the American women? It fell apart on penalty kicks against Sweden. And auto workers demand 40% in a raise as their contract talks heat up. And there's a strike looming in Los Angeles. What group is that? We're going to talk about all of that here on the top of the show. Hey, hey, everybody. What's shaking in your neck of the woods? Kate Delaney, happy to have you on board with us. Speaking of being on board, I've told you all, I'm the person that waits to the last second to get gas. So I always hear the ding, ding, ding. I look down and I'll see the symbol for you need to get gas soon. And lately it's been an eyebrow raiser when I filled up because of how much more we're paying for our gas, unless you're one of those electric peeps. And then it's all about making sure you charge up. But it's gone up in the past month, 28 cents on average. We're getting dangerously close, still a little bit of ways, but we're going to get dangerously close to that $4 mark. And I think that's when people start to squeal. When it gets to four, there's more complaining that starts to happen. Listen, we're Americans. We have bigger cars. I mean, how many people are driving trucks? How many people are driving SUVs of some sort, bigger cars in general? And that means you're filling up and putting more into it if it's, like I said, if it's not electric. And the EV craze is kind of on the rise in some places and kind of not, because I believe there are people, one, that are waiting for them. They want the price to fall. And then the other thing is that there's concern about how far can you go on a charge and how long does it take? And all those questions surrounding, I don't want to get trapped. I'm used to pulling into the gas station, filling up, that's it. I feel good, boom. And so there is always, I think, always has been, and there always will be, at least in the near future, the trying to convince people that it's easy to charge your car up and that there are chargers everywhere. So did the economy get charged up? Adding heading into the weekend, the Bureau of Labor Statistics released a report late on Friday. Unemployment rate fell to 3.5%. Also, the economy added 187,000 jobs in July. So moderate growth, you know, up, 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 but moderate growth looking at a chart of how jobs have gone up this entire year. So you combine the gain of the 185,000 jobs, and in the past 2 months, it's been the weakest level of job growth, though, since December of 2020. The jobs numbers, though, still solid. So that's evidence that the labor market is kind of softened in a way in response to the Federal Reserve effort to slow down the economy with more than a year's worth of interest rates. And people are struggling in so many cases to sell their house. And why is that? Because who wants to pay a 7%? Who wants to pay on a mortgage 7% or 6 something or whatever it might be? Because it changes. So the answer to that is no. That's money on top of money. And in July, this job growth, fueled mostly in healthcare, social services, financial activities, wholesale trade, the healthcare industry added 63,000 jobs. So a lot of that nursing care, hiring nurses. And then financial services added 19,000 jobs, largest gains in real estate and rental and leasing in a long time. Wholesale trade bounced back 18,000 additional jobs in July after being very, very stagnant. And construction is trending up, even though the interest rates have knocked out some of the home buying stuff. Retail, manufacturing, transportation, warehousing, also, which includes tech, saw little to no growth. Little to no growth. So, the whole recession fears thing, and even the Atlanta Federal Reserve updated its economic growth forecast. They suggested that the GDP could soar in the third quarter to 3.9%. Wow. That we haven't seen since the stimulus, that the money that was being pumped in because of the stimulus in 2021. So that's very good news for you and I. In some way, that could affect you no matter what you're doing for a living. So there you go. Coming up, we are going to go into the man cave, just so you know. We'll talk about the disappointment over the women's soccer team. They muffed it up on penalty kicks, and I think they were, at the end of it, just completely stunned, thinking this is the best team in the world, and they just got knocked out after the round of, in the round of 16. So they don't even go to the quarterfinals, semifinals, any of that. They are just out, done. And that, my friends, is that. I mean, there's no other path. So the Swedes took the game, and some people got up very early to watch and weren't happy with those results. I think it was depressing, frankly, right? Super depressing. Speaking of being depressed, this would be very depressing to me. California-based Prospect Medical Holdings had some services shut down at its affiliated locations, others forced to rely on paper records. What? You mean there's a backup system of paper records? And they own about a dozen hospitals in California, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and they have a network of like 160 outpatient centers and clinics. So they posted on their website, and then they emailed a statement to the Washington Post and confirmed an attack. They said they had has disrupted their operations and that they were in touch with the FBI and cybersecurity specialists. You know, anymore, I don't see how any company, especially a really big company, medium-sized company, small but powerful company, can afford not to have a technically savvy person. So when something like that happens, immediately they get to work on it. Like, that's something you don't want to sub out any longer. And this is what happens. So imagine you've got to go and see someone, got to go to one of your doctor, whoever, and you're in Rhode Island, and you have CharterCare, and CharterCare says on Facebook, the computer systems are down and temporarily affecting inpatient and outpatient operations. That's not good, right? If it's your turn to be there. Waterbury Hospital in Connecticut, they said on the Facebook, same thing, posting, it's affecting all of their affiliates and that there were very few outpatient services, right? How about that? And they have to. What are they going to do? Ransomware attacks on medical systems, they're becoming very common. That's scary to me. Because think about your record. And you've got patient records that are digitized and upgraded to cloud-based servers. Hackers deploy them to block an organization's access to its own computer network and to extort a ransom for it. Oh, that would be a nightmare. It was a nightmare for the women in Australia. We'll explain coming up.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take ExtendoVite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me. just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Down. We are in the man cave, and the top contender for the World Cup, Team USA, is out. I've said it now several times. It's incredibly sad, right? So the United States is not there. The World Cup will roll on. They were knocked out in the penalty shootout with Sweden by just a margin of what they're calling millimeters. I got up to watch it, so I saw. It was a game that showed how hard it is to win World Cups, three of them in a row. And I think there were some things that we saw. The U.S. out of the deal. What happens now? I mean, those are the questions. Lack of goals. I mean, they've got to be able to score. And it was so apparent in that shootout. Because they had a chance to flat out win it, and their superstars didn't do it. You know, Sophia Smith, a young superstar, didn't do it, missed completely, not even close, hit a high ball. Same thing with Megan Rapinoe. She comes in, she's substituting, now she gets this great opportunity to just make a goal. Doesn't make a goal. So, and then there was one more. So, three altogether miss, and look, the Swedes had their shots blocked or missed, but enough that one last try hit its mark. Megan Rapinoe afterwards, I think, was shocked herself. She said that it, it was a sick joke. And that's what she said. It's a sick joke. She was shocked that Sweden won and she didn't do what she could do, like score. You know, and that's what she was asked at the press conferences afterwards, what was going through her mind. She said, it's a sick joke. That's why I had a smile on my face. She said, you got to be blank F, you know what, kidding me. I'm going to miss the penalty. I honestly can't remember the last time I missed a penalty. Not in a game for a long, long time. So there, you know, there was no going back. I mean, can't put the genie back in the bottle. It's now moving forward. She won't be on the team next time around. You have to wait for 4 years. And, you know, you had a couple of other players that retired. Julie Ertz retired, too. And her husband is a professional football player, and they have a new child. So, you know, that was the thing they were talking about. They were talking about players with children, and she said, that's it, you know. Fans in Philly really loved that couple, the Ertz, the couple, just Julie Ertz and her husband. But that's it. It'll be a focus of a different sort or playing here and there or whatever. But their son was born last August, and she made a comeback to soccer by signing with Angel City FC, making the U.S. roster, all of that. And she didn't say she was going to retire from the sport itself, but she was retiring from World Cup action. So no World Cup for her either, and there's going to be some other players, I think, that will retire too. So now what? England, Japan, they're all big teams that could win it. Spain is another one that could win the World Cup, but I have a feeling a lot of Americans are going to bail on the action and watch something else instead. Like, guess what we have coming up? Well, we were talking about training camps, just had the Hall of Fame game. The NFL. You know, people are getting ready for their pools and getting ready for their fantasy drafts. And it is about what does it look like, and there's still moves that are being made for so many of these clubs. And I think, like Bill Belichick, I would say, I remember reading this a long time ago, that he thinks it's almost like preseason, the first couple of games, because you're just getting that whole rhythm down. Even if you've played preseason games, played together, all of that, he says there's something about it, and I agree that there is something about real action that makes a complete difference versus, you know, your own team playing against you, some of these scrimmages, some of the other things that happen. Better than nothing, but not the same on overall on what it's like. Let's put it that way, right? Not the same at all. Something interesting did happen in the world of tennis. Speaking of Americans, Coco Gauff won the DC Open for the biggest title of her young career. And that was frankly exciting to see, because the women and the men representing the U.S., we would love to see them win some of these big tournaments. And they get close, but just don't close the deal. So Coco Gauff beat Maria Sakkaraya 6-2, 6-3. So she claimed her first career win at what they call a WTA 500 level. And she did it in 84 minutes in terrible heat and smothering humidity, part of what you get in the summer in Washington, 19 years old. And she said, I will be back. And I believe she will be back. You could see it on her face when she said that. She was thrilled to pieces to be able to win the tournament, and she did it in style, and I think she could be a budding Serena Williams, but we'll see as she goes further into some of these tournaments. But she's got a pretty good coach now in Brad Gilbert, who coached Andre Agassi, so I think she has a fighting chance. All right, I'm going to bounce back to soccer for a minute here, because Inter Miami, tough ticket to get. It's a club, a soccer club, that lured Lionel Messi. And Messi scored two more goals for his new club in a 4-4 draw with FC Dallas. Jammed. The second it was announced that they were going to be there, the place sold out. He and converted a penalty kick in the shootout, with the visitors advancing 5-3 from the spot. and he scored just 6 minutes for the 1-0 lead, 1-0 lead, but his side fell apart behind 3-1 and 4-2, so he does what Messi does. He makes the game exciting, and that's why it'll sell out in other places because of his appearances. And I think that's a good bellwether looking at what happened in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because you definitely drew people out as a result of Messi being there. Made it just an absolute huge, huge difference. All right, big deal in the world of golf is the FedEx Cup, because you make a ton of money, right? You have a chance to have a serious jackpot at the end of it. So there's always conversation about, and it's just how many points you get, about making it on the list. And somebody who was really trying to get there was Justin Thomas, who at the Wyndham Championships had rounds of 65, 66, 68 after opening with an even par 70 on Thursday. So he was making a push toward those points, but he couldn't get it done. And he was unable to finish within the top 70 of FedEx Cup playoff standings. And that's the cutoff point for inclusion. So there was some drama. It went down to his final hole. He needed a birdie to jump inside the projected standings. And when he walked off the 17th green, 70th in the projections, he stepped off the tee and knew, he was looking at the leaderboard and knew what that meant. And so unfortunately for a really good guy, it means you're not making it this time around. But never fear, there will be other times, right? And you know what's at stake in these kinds of things? It was the 3M tournament. So I want you to picture this. You're out there playing your games, the various games that are played, but never for the kind of money that we're talking about. So a 28-year-old, Lee Hodges, won the tournament. And in winning the tournament, that is a cool, big, fat check for him. It is well over $1 million, and you could see it in his face when he won. What? Yeah, and there's big money in golf. We know that, certainly. All right, thanks for listening to all of this in the Man Cave. Coming up next, a couple of great authors. You don't want to miss their stories as they see it and as they tell it.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Former Vice President Mike Pence said he would comply with the law if he were compelled to testify in former President Trump's trial in the 2020 election case. But Pence told CNN he has no plans to testify. Trump attorney John Lauro said Trump asked rather than directed Pence to stop the counting. Lauro went on to say that asking is free speech and is covered by the First Amendment. President Biden is headed out west this week. He'll travel to the key battleground state of Arizona to tout his economic policies. Biden will also travel to New Mexico and Utah as part of the trip. Elon Musk appears to be leaning into plans for a cage fight with Mark Zuckerberg and to show it live. Musk wrote Sunday on X, formerly Twitter, that the Battle of the Billionaires cage fight will be live streamed on X. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
To introduce you to our next guest. Her name is Helen Payne. She joins us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, to talk about her mother's book that she and her sister, Janet Ann Goldman, pulled together after her death. It was a book their mother, Winifred Millicent Hardy, wrote. So can you just imagine what that kind of a project would be like? And the book is called A Curlew Cried, and it's all about her life. It's coming to Australia, and it's fascinating. So thank you so much for joining us, Helen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it very much.
What made you and your sister decide that you were going to publish the manuscript that you found, and what was it like when you found the manuscript so many decades later?
Finding the manuscript was amazing. It was in my filing cabinet and had been there, sitting there for probably 20 years. I got it out and I started to look at it, and I thought, I would really love to have this in a book form. I really want to publish this book. And I spoke to my husband about it, and he said, well, let's do it. Let's publish it. And I phoned my sister, and as she owns half the manuscript, to get her permission. And we both thought, yeah, let's do this. Let's go ahead and publish this book as a tribute to our mother.
Yeah, and you get the, you know, you pull the book together, and you're learning things you didn't know about your mother. What was the most surprising thing, I guess, that you learned about your mother that you didn't know?
Oh, I think the on her birth certificate, she has a different name to what she really was. We learnt that she was illegitimate, not that it bothered us at all when we found out. She never told us anything. The only thing we ever knew was that she was an orphan, basically, at 14, 15 months of age, because her mother died very young. That's about all we know. We're learning things every day, and through reading the book, we have now sort of realised what she was trying to tell us and couldn't. Because she would have been sworn to secrecy in those days.
Yeah. And what's also so interesting, and you said to me off the air for everybody listening, that you laughed, you cried, and it just took you back in time, because we're talking about coming to Australia and farming in Australia when? A long time ago.
Oh, look, it was, yes, in the, I think, 1911 they came out here, and none of them knew anything about farming, basically. And they came out from England and got this farm in the middle of nowhere. And I can honestly say it was in those days, in the middle of nowhere, and decided to become farmers. And they did. And they were the pioneers of that time. They had struggles. They struggled through, like, droughts and floods and then the First World War. In the novel, if people read it, I'm sure they will have the best laugh, and they will cry as well.
Yeah, and in the book, too, if you kind of think of it as the way I like to say, it's like teasing the book like a movie trailer. You know, in this book, it's what you say, the sadness, the anger, and it makes people want to finish this book. And it is about the children. It is about coming from England to this remote village, right?
Yes, well, a town, as a town we call it. Yes, coming to this remote place, which, you know, because they came to Perth, which is our capital, and from there got on a train and got this farm. And they had it for a long, long time and made the best out of a bad situation, but at least they could own that property. And the girls in the family supported the men and worked as hard as the men.
In the book and in the manuscript, which then became the book, and again, the name of the book is A Curlew Cried. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What did your mother describe life like as far as the farming and what it was like to be in that family?
She absolutely loved farming. She loved horses. She loved her grandmother very, very much, because her grandmother brought her up practically, and she just loved the great outdoors. She loved the smell of the bush. She just loved Australia very, very much, and she worked hard all her life, and unfortunately she never got to see her work published, and I wish she had, because that makes me sad, but I'm happy that it is now published and people can have a good read, have a good laugh. Let me know. I'd love to know what people think of it.
And can you remember, this just popped in my head, but thinking of your mother writing this, I mean, how amazing that she took the time and she did it. But do you remember her writing it? Is there anything you can remember about her doing that?
I do, and I can remember her writing it in longhand in books when I was a teenager. Now, I'm 64, so that's going back a long, long time.
You're not that old. So, yeah, so you can remember the longhand. You can remember her sitting there just writing it out.
Yes, yes. When she had time, she'd open it up and she'd write whatever she was writing. And, of course, as a 14-year-old or whatever, I wasn't in the slightest bit interested in what she was doing. And when she finished it, she asked my sister to type it. My sister was a typist. And I can remember Janet sitting there with this old-fashioned typewriter typing this manuscript. And I don't know what happened. It got finished, and then nothing happened with it, and they shoved it in a bag. And when Mum got ill, she came to live with us. And, of course, everything came with her that she had. And I just must have put it in the filing cabinet and forgot about it. And it was only through sheer luck that I found it and we got it published.
Wow, I get chills, and for people in the audience, I think you can relate to this. Can you just imagine, it's like people talk about going through Helen addicts and finding surprises that they, from their family, from their grandmother, from their mother, and you found the biggest surprise of all. To be able to sit there and read her words, that must have been something else.
I'm sorry?
To read those words, it must have been just something else to be able to sit there, get that manuscript, and then go through it, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was. It was wonderful. From the minute I sort of looked at it and started to read it, I was fascinated. And, of course, all the pages had sort of been mixed up, so I had to go through all the pages and put them back together again and whatever. But I couldn't put it down. And I was absolutely fascinated. And everything sort of came together then for me that this is what Mum was trying to tell us, but she couldn't, because she would have been sworn to secrecy that she was illegitimate, and she couldn't even tell her own daughters. And I think that's the saddest part. That's very sad. I mean, there's obviously a lot of fiction in it as well. But most of the characters, well, I suppose when Mum wrote it, they were still alive, so she couldn't put them down. But, you know, all the boys that went to war, they were true. That was true. And I think people will love it, actually. I really hope they do, because everyone I know who has read it has loved it and said, where's the sequel? We need a sequel.
You might have to write a sequel, you and your sister.
Well, my sister's a very good writer. I'm not. I could probably help her out.
When people read A Curlew Crime, what do you hope they take away from reading your mother's book?
Well, I hope they take away, I'd like them to feel they have read a good book, to feel emotions like laughter, sadness, anger, and to finish it saying they want more. This story of Isabel and Bill Elgin and their children coming from England to take up a farm in a remote wheat-belt town of Western Australia is just a wonderful book, a historical novel, which I hope people will read. Your viewers will give them an insight into what Australia was like during that time. It was hard.
Yeah, it was definitely hard, but there was definitely fun and sad and truthful moments in it. There's no question about it.
Yes.
Helen Payne, thank you so much. A Curlew Cried. Pick this book up. Thank you.
Thank you. And a curlew is a bird that used to be in the wheat belt. and I'd love a feedback. If people read it, I would absolutely love them to contact me and let me know what they think.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Delaney, I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness, he is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney, @KateSDelaney. Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-9090. 2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Is in our virtual green room. His book is called Shot in the Mouth and Still Preaching. Wait till you hear his story. Thanks so much for coming on Author's Corner here on America tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Tom, appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good being on.
So let's talk about Shot in the Mouth, that part of it. You told me, I mean, here you were, such a young guy, and thanks for your service, but you were in Vietnam, and you talk about your first mission and what happened. Tell us about what happened to you in Vietnam.
Well, I just turned 18 years old when I went to Vietnam, and in fact, my nickname, one of my nicknames there was, it was called The Kid, just because I was so young, and we just went in this one outfit, they needed some guys, and so they lined us up, and I was a tank driver, and that's what I was trained for, but they needed guys, so we ended up being an infantryman, and then they, for some reason, looked at me and said that you're going to carry the radio. I had no clue what that meant, and I found out later on it was about a 45-pound thing you put on your back, and then found out later on, not when I was there, but later on, that that's one of the most dangerous jobs to have because that's what they shoot at first. They see an antenna sticking up. And so we went on our first mission. Didn't get any problems with our first mission. It was later on when we started really getting the firefight. And then back in there, because I went there in November and February, we were chasing these one Vietnam, and we didn't realize that we was going into a horseshoe trap. And this was February 14th, Valentine's Day. And we lost them. We stopped. I leaned my radio up against a tree, which I usually do because it's heavy. And I heard a zing zing going by me. And instead of having my human instinct, which I did, instead of having my army instinct, I didn't fall. I just turned around and looked. And then one of the rounds hit the ground, bounced up, went into my jaw, lodged into my cheekbone, and I ended up losing 50% of my jaw and about 9 teeth. And it spun me. Well, they kept shooting because they hit their radio, so it spun me completely around. And instead of leaning up against the tree with my back, I was on the ground looking at it, eyeball to eyeball. And I kind of went in some sort of shock. I mean, I never passed out, but I heard it, people, all my guys around me yelling for medic, and I didn't know who was hit, and I kind of rubbed my cheek and my chin, and I looked, and I seen the blood, and I said, oh, man, it must be me, and so I started yelling, and then, of course, when I yelled, I loosened the bullet came out, the piece and all that stuff came out, and I had a bullet in my hand for a while, but then my medic came and wrapped my head up, My first question was before I started swelling and couldn't talk because I was engaged to my wife and I said, am I going to still be able to kiss Sandy when this is all done? He kind of laughed. He said, yeah, you will. I said, okay, but I thought he was lying because I thought I was a mess. And, so he wrapped me up and then, we couldn't get out because there was so much firefight going on. So we had to wait there the whole night and we get out the next morning and end up going to the hospital then.
Wow, so you go through that, you know, you're in Vietnam, you come back and you're a pastor and you realize that you have to have a sense of humor to get through life because of the things that happen, just like what happened to you.
Because as a result of that, it changed my whole speech. I stutter now. I have a hard time pronouncing words and so, you know, yeah, of all things for me to get into, being a speaker, which is absolutely berserk. But yeah, my there's no question. My strange sense of humor got me through all that. Even when I was in the hospital, I thought my mom and dad heard about me getting hit, and so I wrote them a letter about these red ants. They have red ants over there. I call them vampire ants. They walk up your arm and sting you and it bites you in the neck and that. So I wrote a comic thing about that. I just said, I had 100,000 red ants attack me, and one of them had a gun and shot me in the mouth, and I'm just carrying on, thinking they already heard. I was trying to lighten the load for them. But when they got the letter, the Red Cross somehow got mixed up. They didn't know I was hit. So they were reading this letter, and they said, well, what are Tom's talking about? And then my dad seen the letterhead, which was Long Bend Hospital, and they said, well, you know what? I think he is hit. So they contacted Red Cross, and they found out, yeah, I did get hit, you know, and so. But yeah, my sense of humor is—I still have it. I'm so positive. I enjoy life, and I just don't let anything get me down.
And do you think that's what's made you enjoy your life, get through life, be able to help others? Because it's not just what happened to you in Vietnam, but you talk about a heart attack, you talk about prostate cancer, and things that touch lots of people's lives.
Yeah, definitely. That was just in the last 8, 9, 10 months. I had prostate cancer, went to radiation, and then about 3 months after that, I had a heart attack and I had a couple stents in my one artery. It was 99% blocked, and I got a little small one, about 50%. But yeah, I read a small book a long time ago. And it was just titled "Happiness is a Choice." And it's true. I mean, I'm not belittling people that have problems and how they get through them and then maybe not get through them. But I've just chose, no matter what goes on in my life, I'm not going to let that get me down because, I mean, I'm going to choose that. I mean, you know, no matter what. I mean, so that's kind of how I live. I thought of that when I was a young age.
So tell us, Tom, what people can expect in the book.
Well, a friend of mine is in Michigan, and he just begged me to write a book, and because he knows, and I've known him for 20 years, he knows all my stories, and I talk about all we talk about, and he's interested in all that, and he just said, he just begged me to write this book, and I said, I don't want to write a book, I don't know how I even just started it, and so the last time I talked to him on the phone, he convinced me, I said, okay, I'll write it, what do I do? So we come up with a cover. A picture of me with my radio on, you know, an 18-year-old in the barracks, and then we come up with to get their attention, go right into your first mission in Vietnam. So I did that, and then I just went back and forth to my home life, and just went back and forth, and the unbelievable thing about this, a month later, after I agreed into the charity that I would do this, he passed away, 59 years old with COVID, and so I just felt really. I had to do this now. I don't know if anybody can get from heaven down to earth and haunt you, because I think Charity would do that if I didn't write this book. So I was under pressure. I was pressured to do it. So I did that. I did it because that's why I dedicated the book to him. You know, because, you know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even wrote it. And I hand wrote it each chapter at a time. I'd read it to my wife, which was the woman I talked about. If I'm ever going to kiss again, well, she's my wife now. We've been married 54 years, and so, and I'm still kissing her. But I just hand wrote each chapter. She would listen to it, and then once I did that, I typed it into the computer and looked for a publisher, and yeah, the rest is where we're at now.
What was the most challenging thing, I guess, about writing this book?
Probably just bringing up some things I hadn't thought about for a while. When I would be writing it and then reading it to Sandy, my wife, I mean, there's times where I would just cry because it just brought some things up, you know, what affected me and things like that. And so I think those things and really wanting to make it, when I really started getting into the book, I really wanted to make it a real, and that's who I am anyway, a positive book, but I also wanted it to be a book that's going to help maybe another veteran, or not even a veteran, but someone that's going through a crisis in life that just can't get over it. Hopefully it'll be a benefit for them. And then people to see my transformation of my life, of being a non-Christian to a Christian, because it did take place. And then all of a sudden I'm in Bible college and I'm thinking, what am I doing? You know, and so I was in ministry 40 years before I retired about a year or so ago.
Wow. And we're speaking with Tom Williams. His book is Shot in the Mouth and Still Preaching. Did it feel good because you think of your friend, what happened, his encouragement, and then the book comes out and you actually see the book and your wife had helped you, you know, put this together? What was that feeling like when you saw it?
When the first copy came to our house, I cried like a baby. I could not believe it. I mean, because anybody knows me, I'm just a real calm kind of person, and to be able to do this, and even on what I'm talking to you now, it's just overwhelming for me. I mean, because it's overwhelming. And yeah, I couldn't believe it when I got the copy in my hand and I looked at Sandy, my wife, and said, "Look at this." You know, and this just really happened. I mean, you know, and so it's just incredible. It's encouraging me that you know, the number of copies has been sold and people that from our church and my friends and whatever are buying it and giving some gifts. And I mean, it's very, very, very humbling to me. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, God gets all the credit because I mean, it's just so humbling to me that what's going on here.
Yeah, could you have ever imagined that, being a young teenager walking in the jungles of Vietnam and then what happened to you to come full circle the way that you have?
Well, and I say, my English teacher in high school is rolling over a grave saying, "Tom Williams wrote a book. I barely got through English class." And I mean, are you kidding me? Yeah, so yeah, it is overwhelming. I mean, it really, really is. I know some people think I'm trying to be humble, Bob, but I very am humble because it's wild to me.
Yeah, it's good. I love the cover. It's so inspiring. Your story is so inspiring. Shot in the Mouth and Still Preaching, Tom Williams. Pick it up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Tom, thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate this. I really do.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn what more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.